Pornolingus.
Pornolingus is what? Oh, how you do oral and porn.
It's basically, exactly. Porn oral. It's oral and porn. It's where you're kind of touching it with your tongue from a distance. It's all for the camera. It's, like, it's not going to help get anyone off. It's terrible education. Please don't do it. I mean, if you're going to do it, just put your face in there. If you can't breathe, you're doing it right.
Right. Exactly. Go all the way in.
If you are respirating drops of pussy, you're doing it correctly.
Right. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm joined by Alice Vaughn and Yvette D'Entremont from Two Girls, One Mic, the Porncast, to talk about the funnier sides of porn and the true entertainment aspects of it all. Plus, I'm answering your sex and relationship questions. Topics include why porn can be great, when it's too much, what we should be bringing into the bedroom, and what should stay on the screen. The plot holes that porn parodies leave us with, why Instagram is causing recurring problems in your relationship, and how to get people to stop putting you on a pedestal when you're casually dating. All this and more. Thanks for listening. If you've heard me say it once, you've heard me say it a million times. Communication is a lubrication. The more we talk about sex, the better it gets. But listen, before you can tell your partner what actually feels good to you, you need to figure that out with a little self-exploration, because I promise you've got places and parts you haven't explored yet. Enter Zumiio, the one toy that was designed specifically for exploration. Instead of using a wide vibrating surface, it has a fine tip that rotates in tiny circles, mimicking the natural motion of a fingertip. And so what this does is it lets you pinpoint one very small area at a time without overpowering vibrations that stimulate everything at once. The result? You can discover so many new sensations and take control of your pleasure. Zumiio has 8 speeds and it's pressure sensitive. Push the tip down gently for light stimulation or firmly for deeper intensity. And because it doesn't vibrate, nothing gets overstimulated, including the hand you're holding it with. Oh, and BTW, Zumiio is an amazing add-on for intercourse. Its small tip and ergonomic handle means that you can reach down and use it exactly where and when you need it most. I'm telling you, just go take a look at it and you'll see why I'm so excited about Zumiio. You can see it at sexwithemily.com/Zumiio. That's sexwithemily.com/Zumiio. Zumiio is exploration with rotation, not vibration.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com, social media, Sex with Emily across the board. Intentions with Emily. For each show, let's start off by setting an intention. I encourage you to do the same because I do it as well. So when you're listening right now, think about it. Like, what do I want to get out of listening to this episode of Sex with Emily and how it could help you? It could be, oh, I've always wondered if porn is good or bad for me, and what is a porn plot hole? Or I'm not sure how I even feel about porn. This could be an interesting perspective. My intentions for the show is to show you that porn doesn't have to be super scary or serious, and there are actually healthy ways to incorporate it into your sex life. Enjoy the show. I'm so excited to welcome my guests. We have quite a topic to get into. I have so many questions. Alice Vaughn and Yvette D'Entremont?
Indeed. I'm impressed.
They have a podcast called Two Girls, One Mic. And it discusses all the storylines and plot holes, which did you guys make up plot holes?
Well,
of porn.
Someone has to review the holes and the plot holes right. of everyone's favorite porn,
yeah,
right?
Look,
exactly.
There's so many continuity errors, and this distracts me from my orgasm, and people need to know about it.
Exactly. Like, the sheets were not that color, or whatever happened. It was folded over, there wasn't a pillow.
It's like, look, I can suspend disbelief that somebody is going to bang the plumber, but I can't suspend disbelief that they're going to do it on a certain set of sheets. You know, like, I need consistency.
Okay, so
sometimes I want to know, how much did the subway tile cost in the bathroom? It's not my fault they have fantastic grout work.
Right, exactly. Right. Those are the things you're like, this is not believable. You want to believe your porn, but how did you both get into this? I mean, you have a successful podcast about just this subject.
So there's a, so we took a joke too far, basically, is the whole story behind this. My main thing is I'm a science communicator. I tell people when something is completely, wait, am I allowed to swear?
Yes.
Cool. Awesome. I tell people they're full of shit for a living, basically. It's great work if you can get it.
Yeah.
And I was doing a talk on bad science in the movies and why bad science in the movies is abso-fuck-lutely fine, because we're not going to get a lesson on quantum physics from the Avengers. We're going to watch Tony Stark have homoerotic banter with Captain America.
Right.
And then I said, making fun of the bad plot line or the bad science in sci-fi movies is like making fun of the plot lines in a porno. You take it out and you're still going to get what you went in there for. And then I was like, wait, Neil deGrasse Tyson makes fun of these all the time.
Right.
And there's a career in it. Maybe we could make fun of the plot lines in pornos. And Alice is incapable of not running with an idea.
Look, she told me it. I said, this is a great idea. 12 days later, we had a show.
Really?
She's a force of nature.
Okay, I love this. So you guys have been friends for a while? You have such great chemistry together.
She's my hetero life mate.
Aww. Oh, I love that.
It's a good time.
So
I'm also the same. I approach my relationships the same exact way. I say, I want that. I get it. I'm not even kidding you. So she was killing someone's career on the internet, which was...
I take no credit. I say their bad behavior killed their career. I just let people know about it in a way that involves jokes.
Yeah. So while she was doing that, I was reading one of her articles. I think it was the first one that blew up. Why the Food Babe is Full of Bullshit.
Or the Food Babe.
Food Babe blogger is full of shit.
Okay.
Go read it. You'll enjoy it or you'll hate me, whichever.
Okay.
But
got it.
I read that, said she's my new friend. We became friends.
You just reached out to her and said, okay, but
she found me at a conference like 2 years later and was just like, I'm pulling you into my girl's circle.
Oh.
And it worked out.
Where do you guys live? Do you live here? Or do you live... I mean, you don't have to mention Los Angeles?
New York and LA.
Oh, okay. Oh. So you do the podcast like...
virtually, yeah.
Right? I had to do that for a while. That's really cool. Okay, but tell me about this, you guys. Like, what... So what is the podcast? How do you explain this? So you watch porn. Do you pick like a topic every week? Like,
yeah.
About
so,
porn. So give so us an have, example, because people like a plot hole.
So
like, what?
There are a few different formats that we use depending on who we're interviewing. And sometimes we'll have either a comedian or a porn star on and they will review a porn with us. And then sometimes we'll have someone from the industry, someone who's in porn, someone who's from behind the scenes, and we'll just interview them. So there are a couple different ways we go with it. But the main thing that we love doing is taking a porn that we love, a parody porn, and having fun. Comparing it to the original and finding little things that we can just
porn,
like,
exactly.
I mean, part of this was Alice and I are the type of people who will see something in a porn that distracts us because it's funny and we'll say it, and our at least with me and my partner would be like, baby, the mood,
right.
You know?
Like,
could you not?
No way. That's their real opinion. I mean, the thing is, my thing is that you're like, that's not real, because a lot of it isn't real. Like, I often talk about how, like, I get that porn is titillating. It's great to get you in the mood. You can even learn some things, but a lot of what we see in porn just isn't accurate. It isn't true. But you guys aren't even getting into that part of it, are you? Or are you saying, like, he's nowhere near her clitoris. Like, there's no way she's having an orgasm.
We complain about that.
You know the term pornolingus, right?
Pornolingus. No, but
We were enlightened to that one from Nina Hartley, I believe.
Oh, love it, Nina.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay.
She's
we have
fantastic.
Undying love for her.
And
pornolingus.
Pornolingus is what? Oh, how you do oral and porn.
It's basically, exactly.
Porn oral.
It's oral and porn. It's where you're kind of touching it with your tongue from a distance. It's all for the camera. It's not going to help get anyone off. It's terrible education. Please don't do it. I mean, if you're going to do it, just put your face in there. If you can't breathe, you're doing it right.
Right. Exactly. Go all the way in.
If you are respirating drops of pussy, you're doing it correctly.
Right?
So we have professionals like Nina on. We've had Lisa Ann. We've had people who are masturbation coaches to foot fetish experts.
We had
like
a porn researcher on recently. Medea was wonderful.
What did you guys learn? So what do we need to know? Like, what?
So much.
Everything. We talk with her a lot about sex and porn addiction, which according to her research, porn addiction really isn't a thing, which
it
seems to be in line with the other things I'd read. But hearing it from a researcher as opposed to, you know, groping on the internet and trying to find whatever, you know, seems true. It was wonderful having an expert on. And that's what we love doing, is we bring in, you know, people from all over the place that are willing to come on a porn cast.
Okay. Yeah. So. No, I love it. So porn addiction, I mean, that's interesting, because because I do feel that, listen, we all know when an addiction is taking over our life. Like,
oh, yeah.
Are there consequences? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's, I don't have to say it's an addiction, but if people are watching so much porn and then they can no longer get it up with their partner, can't maintain erections or have orgasms or whatever it is, and they can't even when they're with a real human, they're just in their head fantasizing, and it becomes problematic, then maybe you scale back on the porn, but I'm not here to throw labels on it.
That yeah. said, you're never going to watch enough porn where you can't pay the rent. So, as
you know,
most addictions,
yeah. But couldn't you? What if you are so addicted that you can't get to work in the morning?
Or,
I don't know,
and
up all night watching porn.
So I worked, I briefly, I'm not proud of this, but I briefly worked for the United States government.
But so did I.
At the, there was one guy at the office who they just knew as Porno Bob. And I guess he'd been fired before I worked there because indeed there were just always like cam girls up on his screen. And I'm like, how? Then they're like, yeah, it took a while to get, I'm like, it took a while?
Porno,
really?
Government.
They're like,
takes
well,
a
was
to
good,
get a stamp, right?
Like, oh yeah, I had to do studies about studies. It was insane,
yeah.
But it was yeah. Like that's I would call that like if not addictive behavior, like it, that is kind of even if porn is not an addiction, you can exhibit those kinds of behaviors that are definitely harming your life. So
right.
I don't know if it is mm-hmm. a chemical addiction or not, but yeah, you can abuse anything that you find that gives you pleasure that you can't let go of.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So tell me what you've learned about porn. Like you've really gone down a deep dive. You've been doing it the podcast for a year,
year and a half.
Year and a half. So like you, I mean, I haven't watched that much porn. Like what's new? What's exciting? What do we need to know?
The biggest eye opener to me is that the women are coming more than I expected.
They're coming.
I thought that,
I hear they're not.
See, for me, I heard, I got out of it that it's way less.
I expected that they were all fake. So when I found out that like look, finding out that Manuel Ferreira's dick is apparently the orgasm bringer, that was enlightening.
Oh, really?
That made me happy.
Well, when he and Caden Cross get together, angels sing.
Jesus hugs a kitten.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, you guys, I'm talking to Allison Yvette from the Two Girls, One Mic podcast. You can also find the information to their podcast and their social media on our website. If you go to sexwithemily.com, everything we talk about on the show is available in the show notes at the top of the page. What about mainstream porn and ethically made porn? What do you think about that difference? Because I'm always like, well, some people are like, oh, I went into Pornhub and it was so disturbing. Like, I want to find porn that feels good to me. So what have you guys found?
So people always ask us, well, where can I find ethical porn? Well, here's the thing. People aren't forced into porn. So what I mean by that is you'll have people who... Okay, here's the thing when it comes to LA. Just like in any other gig in show business, there's not going to be a lot of spots open. So, you know what? If someone's being cast for a specific porn, you know, they have to be able to do the job. And if you don't want to be there, it's going to show. And if you can't do the job, there's going to be someone else, an or gal or guy who's lined up to do that instead.
Yeah.
So I ask people, hey, Alice, where can I find ethically made porn? Well, if it's film, chances are, you know, something professionally made, it's ethically made. The actors are going to be treated well on set. I mean, nowadays, you can't get away, especially with social media, everybody talking to each other. You can't really get away with abusing your co-stars or, you know, being a jerk on set. You're just not going to get hired again.
Yeah. Right? And the other thing we tell people is if you want to make sure that this is ethically sourced, that the person who is in it was treated well, enjoy what they're doing, wants to be there, go check out, find someone whose work you enjoy, go to their OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
Pay for your porn. You know, make sure that you're interacting with them in a way that doesn't seem gross and seedy and dishonest. And it's like you know you can tell that if someone is making it ethically if it's you know if it's on their own page.
Okay.
Like at least
yes.
That's the way I look at it. So
what have you learned porn for your own use? Like are there things that you loved and you're like if I watch another gangbang, I'm just done. We can't, you know, we got to change the name of the podcast.
I would never say no to another gangbang. What kind of a girl do you take me for?
Right, exactly. But sometimes I'm like, okay, sex toys, I have so many of them to try. Like, you know, sometimes I'm like, I can't tonight. So
I think the weird thing that people would not expect is that we regularly skip watching the sex when we're reviewing the movies. Like if they're like I'll watch every time someone stays in character, but if I you know if it's just gonzo porn for the rest of it, then
right.
I'm like I've seen this.
So we're talking about
times.
The plot holes then.
Oh yeah,
you're just
like,
going into the plot. You're going into the narrative.
Like one of the ones that we loved, The Big Lebowski XXX was great. Fap to the Future was one of my
Fap
still,
to the Future.
I will eternally
fantastic.
have a a soft spot in my heart or a hard spot in my metaphorical dick for Michael Vegas because of that. It was like half plot and then half, like, it wasn't just sex. They were making love. It was a good, like,
it was a good
there was
porn.
Making out and slowly taking off clothing, and then there was banging the shit out of each other. But still, like, it was a hysterically scripted thing, and then there was good sex. Like, that's exactly what I want in something we review. So it's like, I actually watched and was entertained by all of it, and that's what we look for.
Do you both agree on what's good sex, though? Because I think that's so subjective.
It really is subjective. Yeah. We find that a lot of people, not only us, but a lot of people are, and studios are realizing this as well, they're hiring actors who have more chemistry, who are more into each other, where it's more natural. I mean, you're going to have plenty of studios who do something that's just very niche. But nowadays, the mainstream crowd, we find, is going towards, you know what, I want to see the people boning are into each other. You know, believe it or not, there's actually, the people who make porn are not married or in relationships. They probably have not held hands prior to that day.
Right, exactly. No, you're right. You're right. People think that but they want to believe it. It's like going to a movie at the theater. You're like, I want to believe that they were really in love.
And it's like, or I
want. We want Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper to fall in love. Like, we want that to be real.
It's
so, look, I could see that in porn.
I was gonna say after watching them at the awards show, I'm just saying maybe they were.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I wanna think that they were at least enjoying their day at the office. Like, you never, like, I think it was the Avenger. It was one of many Avengers parodies that we watched. That there was just an actor that looked like they were bored / waiting for the scene to be over / slightly uncomfortable, and not in that fun uncomfortable way that you have sex sometimes, but like in that uncomfortable, like, this is unpleasant and I don't want to be, and I'm like, that, who wants to watch that? Who wants to, you know, who's going to get off to someone being like, I'm bored? Like, that's
no,
not
you're right.
My
that's
kink.
A good, yeah, I think that so many people just like kind of fast forward to the sex part, but you guys are really taking it seriously.
Emily,
yeah.
I'm just saying, so you've watched Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure, right?
Yeah.
Okay, watch Pee Wee Herman's XXX Adventure, the first 5 minutes, no sex at all. It is a scene-by-scene recreation by Tommy Pistol in the most perfect Pee Wee Herman, down to the laugh.
He does Pee Wee amazingly well.
Wow.
It was, I mean, he does kind of disappear into characters. So, like, if people don't think there's acting in porn, watch anything with Tommy Pistol or Evan Stone. Like, just watch it. They could easily make it in
so
mainstream.
It's really fun. Like, you really are just having a good time with porn.
Oh my God, yes. And I mean, we've learned to love the people within the industry, and they've been so welcoming, which is the best part.
Yeah. It's shocking that people are nice to you if you treat them like human beings, as they deserve to be freaking treated. Like, I think it's kind of shocking that we bring people on and they're not like, and I think people are surprised that we're not asking tawdry questions when we bring them on. And that's
what I would do, maybe. Like, tawdry, but like, tell me what you've learned. Are you in your body? Like, I mean, are you ever having an orgasm? Like, but you're kind of like about the art and the light, and like, was that really your ejaculate?
I like to say that we're the porn cast that your grandmother would listen to, because we use kind of porn as a launching off place for a lot of comedy and a lot of discussions. And I think there's a lot of comedy and a lot of conversations.
How have your parents
had
dealt with what you're doing, or your family for friends?
Oh, I've disappointed them for the last 20 years, so it's okay.
Yeah.
My mother
I'm just
is
curious. I get asked all the time, and I'm like,
My mother is very proud.
I love it.
My father doesn't know I'm alive, so that's fine.
Okay.
Or maybe he does. Who knows? Hi, Daddy. Fuck off. Look, I'm just saying, I have a career because of daddy issues. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I think a lot of us do, right?
Yep.
Whatever it is.
Hashtag
daddy.
Great. Thank you for dad for bad dads.
What do you guys think about porn? Like, do you really still watch in your relationships right now? Do you still think it's good for good for couples?
Oh,
I think in many ways, couples are always. Is there anything you'd recommend? Like, anything that you saw that was like surprising to you? You're like, I can't, or like a theme or things that were like a trending in porn that has shifted? Or, I mean, I don't know. I don't watch enough. I don't look at it like you do in those ways.
Well, we're like, all waiting for the faux cest to stop.
Oh my God.
The faux what?
The faux cest.
I don't want, I
step
could,
brother, step
oh,
mother,
faux,
yeah.
Oh,
I could die happy. I could die happy if there wasn't
that.
Another single stepmother, step whatever scene. It's like,
that
we
is
had,
big.
We had a wonderful guest on our show, Steve Gadlin, who suggested the reason they did all those is because, well, it's a really convenient way to have two people in a house. I'm like, has the myth of the plumber died? Has the myth of banging the plumber died? Where is the pizza boy when you need him?
Right, exactly.
We have other ways to get someone to a house.
Right, we don't need the sis to bring the fake sis to bring the pizza.
Like, and maybe it's just that I didn't. Maybe it's just that I didn't have any step siblings, but I just don't see the appeal in banging a. I don't know.
I know. I don't either.
What's funny is one of our friends, Sean. He's now taken over to produce some of this FOSA stuff for a studio. So we were talking about this, and I said, "All right, well, now since you've stepped up to the plate and you're going to be now producing and directing this type of content, I have some ideas." So, for example, I mean, if Ed mentioned the plumber. Why can't we just have a plumber go to a woman's house? She's incessantly hitting on him.
She's wearing very little clothing.
Very little clothing. But he doesn't have sex with her. Instead, he goes home and he's very loyal and has sex with his stepsister. Why not?
Twist that, right. Twist it on its head. I love the way you're thinking about this, tying it all together.
We need some you're more awesome. M. Night Shyamalan-like plots in porn.
I think you guys could do this.
The dick was hard the whole time.
Yeah, it was a real dick. It was a real turn on.
It was
guys.
Not a ghost dick.
Okay, Arthur, what have you learned about that? Prosthetic dicks.
Prosthetic dicks. Have we learned?
We have learned so much about fake cum, less about prosthetic dicks.
Fake cum. How do you make the fake cum?
There's a number of recipes.
There are.
I know which one of them involves
I just feel like a lot of it's fake. Because a lot of men call in and they're like, oh, mine wasn't. I'm like, it was porn. It wasn't real. Yeah, I think a lot of orgasms aren't real. Okay, you guys, I have to ask you the five questions we ask all of our guests, our quickie questions. Ready? Okay. No stress. Okay. Biggest turn on. Each one of you can answer.
Being tied up and being powerless.
Double penetration.
Okay. Biggest turn off.
A guy asking me to do what I want with him.
bad smell.
Okay. What makes good sex?
Communication.
Lots of lube.
And willingness to try new things.
Okay. Something you would tell your younger self about sex and relationships.
Fucking talk to the guy. Tell him where your clitoris is.
Exactly, right?
Lots of communication. Just ask for what you want.
Number one sex tip.
Don't be so afraid of your body.
Talk to your partner and try new things, but also use more lube.
And also use anal. Do anal. Do the thing with the lube.
Do the anal. I love it. Thank you, Alice and Yvette. Two girls, one mic. They can find your podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yes.
We got your social media. We have it all at Rational Blonde and at The Psy Babe. And we'll have this all in our show notes. Thank you for being here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into your email questions. So how often has this happened to you? You just got done with a sweaty, hot round of sex, and now you gotta clean up. So what do you use? Like, where do you go? Especially if it's really messy, drippy. I mean, you know what happens. Well, that's where Freshies come in. So my good friends Lauren, Michael, and Weston at Woo More Play, you know them. I've been telling you about their coconut love oil for months because I'm obsessed with it. Well, they created Freshies. They're all natural, pre-moistened towelettes made with organic ingredients like aloe vera extract, cranberry, vanilla water, and coconut water. And of course, they're pH balanced, free of alcohol, parabens, dyes, and they're hypoallergenic. So you're also going to love the packaging. I mean, Freshies wipes are individually wrapped and come in a little package that look like an old school cigarette box with a flip top. It's just so cool. Each box has 10 wipes that you can keep in your purse, your car, your gym bag, wherever. And the directions on the box are everything. It just says directions. If you have to ask, you probably don't have a vagina. Brilliant. Trust me, you want these. To find Freshies from Woo More Play, just go to sexwithemily.com/woo. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/WOO, and use code Emily for a special discount. Get dirty, get clean, and repeat. I am so excited to let you know you can now hear Sex with Emily live 5 days a week on Sirius XM Radio. You'll find me on Stars Channel 109 Monday through Friday at 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. But don't worry, the podcast is staying right here. My brand new radio show will have everything you love about Sex with Emily and more, because every day I'll be interviewing guests, sharing the latest news, and my favorite part, taking your calls live on the air 2 hours every weekday. If you're a SiriusXM subscriber, you already know how great it is. If you never tried it, get a free trial for 30 days. Just go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. That's sexwithemily.com/SXM today to try SiriusXM for yourself. See you there. All right, guys, I love answering your questions. That's why I'm here on the planet. So if you want a question answered on the show, go to sexwithemily.com, click Ask Emily tab, fill out the form, or email us feedback@sexwithemily.com. But always, always, always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Thanks, guys. Okay, producer Jamie, you want to read the email?
Indeed. This first one comes to us from Ivan, 31, in California. Hello, Dr. Emily. I've got an issue that's looming over my relationship for the past year regarding my girlfriend's take on my social media. Since we've started dating, my girlfriend has called me out and had issues with the number of Instagram models / influencers I follow because it, quote, hurts her, hideous, and repulsive to her, end quote. She's asked that I reduce the number of follows or completely get rid of and unfollow all of those types of accounts a few times now. I've complied, but the same fight keeps coming back. I respect her views, but in my eyes, the occasional like isn't harmful or worth breaking a relationship over. Can you give me your take on this, Emily? I really love my girlfriend and want to be with her, but this same old fight is getting to be too much.
All right, Ivan, this is such a great timely question because I think a lot of people are going through this right now because in social media, we can totally track what our partners are doing and sometimes it doesn't feel great. So what I have to say about this is that it sounds like this is a deeper issue. It's not just about Instagram. It's about her own insecurities in the relationship, her ability to trust. This could have come from a past relationship. Maybe somebody cheated on her. Maybe she's had some insecurity issues about her own the way she looks and the way she comes across. Maybe her parents cheated on each other and there's just no trust. So I would get more information about where she thinks this is coming from, the source of it, because I feel like in these situations, you can reassure her all you want, but even if you stopped following all the Instagram models, there's gonna be something else. Like, why'd you become friends with this woman you work with? Is she cute? You know? So I think that it's really about her own challenges, her own insecurities, and that it's about a deeper, you know, challenge in the relationship. Because if you're telling me that you actually have no, you're just like, yeah, I like looking at these girls, I like liking their photos, but I'm so deeply committed to my relationship and the intimacy and working on it from a very like trusting, loving standpoint and growing together and she's my person, then there really isn't anything for her to be jealous about if you haven't done anything to lead her down that path. So just have some healthy conversations with her. And again, from a open, without this conversation, not like the next time she yells at you for following, say, I think we really have to talk about this because I want this relationship to go the distance. I want to work on the strength of our commitment and let's just talk about it. Tell me more about these feelings and be curious and be open without judgment and without shaming her or blaming her.
Do you think sometimes when people are forced to, not forced, but more so like ask these follow-up questions like, oh, so tell me why, like, why does this give you so much pause or why do you think it's so hideous that they haven't even really deeply thought about it?
Thank you for bringing that up because I'd be like, I just feel that way. I just know every guy, you're just gross. Like guys love girls in bathing suits and it's a waste of time. Like you're not like getting, you didn't get a bonus at work this year. So you're wasting time on Instagram. Let's just role play this. Mm-hmm. Then what I would tell Ivan to do is here is like, okay, no, babe, I hear what you're saying, but I just really want to know, like, can we go a little bit deeper? Just let me know. You know that I love you. I'm not cheating. I don't want to be with anybody. You know, I'm just an American male looking at stuff on Instagram, but I really want to know because I want to help you because it gives you so much suffering, babe, and I don't want you to suffer. So maybe could you tell me, when was a time in your life where someone broke your trust? When were you hurt in this way? When did you feel less than? Let's go through it. Can you figure it out? And then just keep taking it back to that. Keep that you want to help her. You want to figure it out. You want to and see how that goes. And again, it might happen during one conversation, but if you can just be calm and this is a practice. You guys, sex is a practice. Communication is a practice. I'm going to give you some answers and I'm going to help you go down a path and start. But it's really going back to your center and saying, all right, I'm going to have to be calm. I just lost my shit here. I yelled back at her. And then you can take it back, take a few deep breaths and say, I'm sorry. Let me just listen. I really want to hear more about this and then help her get there. Because you're right. A lot of people probably haven't thought about it before. But this is the work we have to do. When something is triggering us, investigate. When was the first time it happened? When was the last time it happened? When was the most intense time it happened in my life that someone cheated on me or I felt distrust? And that's how we can get to the roots of it.
Okay, this next one comes to us from Adam, who is 38 in Oregon. Hi, Dr. Emily. After a 14-year-long monogamous marriage, I find myself a bit out of touch with the new rules of dating and relationships. Thank you for your incredibly open and direct information. I've started exploring the possibilities of being in a non-monogamous relationship, but I've found it very difficult to navigate. My main concern is, what is the difference, or at least how to navigate the difference between non-monogamy and casual sex? I have long-standing evidence that I can love more than one person, and my love languages are mostly giving gifts. I want to love everyone I meet and give/provide for everyone. While casual sex becomes the default single person in their 20s and 30s type of relationship, read one night stand, I prefer to have the relationship aspect of non-monogamy or maybe polyamory. Again, thank you for all the wisdom and information you share, as well as the laughs and joy you have spread. Lovingly forever, hopeless romantic Adam.
Oh, Adam, thank you so much. I'm so glad you enjoy the show and get some laughs. Okay, so this is such a great timely question as well, because listen, times they are changing, and you were in a long monogamous relationship and now you're like meeting people and realizing like, I don't want to just have casual sex. I actually want to see these people again, and several people. And I think a lot of us, many people can actually love many people or have relationships with many people, but it's not for everybody. So in order to like kind of, let me walk this through with you, because I think that you get to decide, you get to make your own rules, but typically non-monogamy is sort of the umbrella term. And that's when you are, you know, committed to somebody, but you have an understanding that you are both sleeping with other people or date other people, but you're not going to commit to that. Maybe that includes like we're swinging or we're, you know, we're just seeing people when we're traveling, but we don't see them often. Or maybe it's threesomes and stuff like that, but there's not like a commitment. There's not an ongoing relationship. Polyamory, polyamory has a lot of different facets to it, but typically that you do have a primary partner in polyamory, and maybe you live with them, or maybe they're just the one person that is your go-to, and then you have other partners that you also see that you might have commitments to, but it's like, I see them once a month, but this is my primary person. Like if something happens, I call them, and everyone typically knows about everyone else, and everybody else is polyamorous. There are people who are, I'm not saying everyone else is polyamorous because you get to make your own rules. There might be people who are only dating you and they're okay that you are polyamorous. But typically that's what polyamory is. There's also like solo poly, which sounds like that's something that maybe you might be doing right now while you're figuring it out. You're meeting several women and you're enjoying spending time with them. And perhaps there's not like a status thing where there's one that you're seeing more than the next. You're just sort of figuring it out. And with casual sex and dating, I feel like that's what a lot of us are doing and we're not actually talking about it. So people end up getting hurt. You know, with casual sex and dating, you're not really committed to anybody. But I believe that we should all be open and upfront that we are dating more than one person and actually sleeping with more than one person. And I think the more we all do that, the more we'll be equipped to deal with these kind of situations, because I think that we should never assume that if we've gone on a date or three dates with somebody that they're not dating other people. I assume they are. Like, why would you have just met me and we've been out twice and you're not dating or sleeping with other people? And then I think that's when you can have a conversation and say, so what are you looking for? Here's where I'm at right now. Right now, I'm looking to spend time with people a few times a week, once a week, and having a sexual relationship. I practice safe sex, but I'm not looking for monogamy right now. This is what I'm about. What are you about? And yeah, there might be some people who can't take that and that's not in their constitution, and that's okay. But I think then you're more likely to have relationships that can be more nourishing and be kind of more what you're looking for. So I think if you're honest and you state what you're looking for, you'll find people that are okay with it. You'll be surprised to find that people are okay with it. And honesty, I think, is the best policy here.
We're always so scared to be so honest when people are like, the main thing people get mad at is just the lying.
Exactly. People are mostly okay with what we tell them. And the people who aren't your people, because listen, Adam, you know yourself. You were married for 14 years. You're a 38-year-old man. You know that you can love many. That's not for everybody. And in fact, the people who can't are the people who are only monogamous might say things and think you're wrong. But, you know, we all get to decide. So the fact that you know yourself means that you're not willing to, you know, give up on what you know that you need. So you just got to be honest and fight for it.
Okay, this next one and last one comes from Emily, 21 in Ontario. Hi, Dr. Emily. I've been in a few relationships and I found that guys fall for me a lot quicker than I do for them. A little too quickly, actually. I think what's happening is that they're mistaking their infatuation with feelings of love. Because of this, they put me on a pedestal very early on in our relationship. It's frustrating because as a human, I'm very flawed. So after that initial wave of infatuation, I can do nothing but disappoint them. What are your thoughts on this? Is it common for men to fall for, or think they're falling for, someone a lot quicker than women? What can I do to make sure this doesn't happen in future relationships?
Okay, Emily, this is a great question. And when I read it, I thought about you. I feel like I was you at 21, Emily. I was a 21-year-old Emily in this very position. And I feel like many men would always fall for me. And I felt that I was never able to return their like love and their infatuation. And there was many of them. And I remember saying to my friends, and even to the guys sometimes, I wish I could return what you're feeling, but I just don't feel that yet. But I like that you're very sure of yourself and you're probably intriguing to them. And the fact that, you know, you don't fall for them could also be what's appealing. And so I feel like that the key thing here is this common? I don't know if this is common for everyone, but it sounds like whatever you're bringing out there, you know, you're very like alluring and smart. And maybe you're saying, I don't want a relationship, or I'm just kind of figuring myself out right now. That could be very appealing. I was a very independent 21-year-old. My agenda was about succeeding in the world and making a change and making difference. And when I dated guys, I was like, yeah, this is fun, but I'm not looking for anything serious. And maybe they're not, I don't know if that's how you're presenting, but that could be part of it. But all I can tell you, if I could go back right now and I had the skills that I had, I would just be more direct and let them know that, like, you want to move slowly in relationships. And that you know, you're not ready to jump into anything. So, but what I want to say here is I want to go back to something, because you said after that initial wave of infatuation, I can do nothing but disappoint them. So what I'm hearing here is that you're saying I'm frustrating because as a human, I'm very flawed. We are all flawed. Everybody is flawed. So I think what you're saying is maybe they're falling in love with you because you're exciting and you're beautiful and you're all these things, and they don't see your deep, dark, whatever, however you perceive as flawed. And so I understand that as well, because I still, you know, we all feel flawed. So maybe there's like a part of you that still has to work on loving yourself and feeling like you... You know, because like I said, we are all flawed, but what kind of work do you need to do to feel that you are worthy of love and that you are worthy of all this, you know, attention from men and stuff like that, and that you're in a place where you actually want to return it? And you're 21 years old, so this is still a journey. So either take a break from dating right now or let the guys know that you're dating, that you're actually not looking for anything serious. I've found that the more vulnerable I am and I lay out, you know, not like right away, but if I feel there's room for it, I'll say, this is what I'm struggling with and this is who I am. And so you don't feel like there's a duality, like they're just falling in love with the superficial Emily and they don't know, really know who I am in my core. And I think that's how you really get to know people, and you get to, you know, but then sometimes guys, Jamie, they fall in love with your vulnerabilities too. So
it's really hard. It's like, do you keep stuff more locked up and be mysterious, or do you let it all out and then they like love you for being so open? It's like,
I don't know. I've played all of those cards, and it was never the thing for me. It was never conscious. It was just like, I love that you love me, but I'm so stressed about work. And I mean, it was pretty much probably the same as I am now in many ways, in the sense of like, I really want to do great at my job and I care so much about my friends and I'm trying to keep up with everybody. And maybe the fact that I wasn't singularly focused on them is what made it appealing. And maybe there's some of that in Emily, but all I can say is that it's okay to feel flawed. And I just say, I'm going to say this to everybody listening, especially in your 20s, like, do your work, figure out who you are, and don't go along with men who, what I did, Emily, is I used to be like, this one really loves me and it felt really good for a while and it felt safe until it didn't. And I felt like I kind of got talked into relationships. And I realized that I wish if I could go back, I would have taken more time to be without a relationship in my 20s. I was a serial monogamist. And so that's why I recommend you, Emily. Keep doing you. That was therapy to my younger self. Business with Emily. Find me on SiriusXM Radio. It is a blast. It's Stars 109 and it's 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. Now, a lot of you have been calling in, which I love hearing from you all, because it's literally like the doctor is in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. You can call 888-947-8277. Get a free 30-day trial if you'd like. It's sexwithemily.com/SXM. I have an awesome vibrator necklace. It's called The Crave. It is the Sex with Emily Vesper. Super elegant vibrator you wear around your neck. It works. It's amazing. It's literally, I always have a vibrator on me now and a cool piece of jewelry. The phrases, they make great gifts, are for yourself. I come first, turn me on, meditate, masturbate, manifest. God, I love them. Sexwithemily.com/Vesper. Also rate us. Leave us, you know, if you're listening, whatever app you're listening on right now, rate us, review us, give us 5 stars, comment on iTunes. That helps us a lot. And just thank you for supporting the show. If you think a friend would enjoy this episode, share it with them right now. We all need to learn, right? We all need better sex. Thanks to my awesome team, Ken, Kristen, Elisa, Brian, our interns, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Here's what's happening. It is getting cold pretty much wherever you are. And I get it. It can be hard to want to have sex when you can't pry yourself from the bundles of blankets you're under. Trust me, I've been there.
I'm cold right now.
I'm cold just thinking about how cold it's going to get, even in Los Angeles. But I'm here. I'm coming to the rescue. I'm making your sex life hot. Like, literally. I mean, I get it. Just because it's cold outside doesn't mean you can't get all steamy inside. This has been an incredible year because our subscription box has been killing it. It's really cool, Jamie, how many people have actually subscribed to it and loving it.
I know. We get good feedback. And they're like, I can't wait for my next box to come.
This quarter's theme is my Getting Warmed Up subscription box. It's all new for the new year, and it's packed with stuff you're going to love, because I love it. Jamie loves it. These are the goodies of the next box. You're going to get a super cute and compact Sex with Emily Relax candle.
I was so excited about this.
I know. It's like a cute little candle. You can take it when you're traveling. You know that it's just going to be there. Leave it by your bedside. You get melting rose petals.
Ooh.
Perfect for a steamy bath. Super sexy couples game called You and Me, which I love all these games we're getting. They're making really cool games now because a lot of you are like, how do I communicate with my partner better? How do we have the sex talk? This will help you. And it's all wrapped up in a game.
Yeah, and it makes it like light and fun. So it's not like we have to talk about our sex life
now. We need to talk about our sex life. Let's just play a game, take a bath. Oh, and maybe use the crystal massage oil. Lots of lotions and potions in this. We got the crystal massage oil, Uber Lube, Muse Favored Lube. Can't get enough of that. Foria's CBD-infused Awaken. And the kicker, you get a Screaming O stroker for him and a Wee Vibe touch for her. To make the most out of that, you'll also get my top tips for getting warmed up. So I give you little tips of how to play with all the fun things. If you haven't seen my subscription box, just check it out. Every quarter, I select products for you to try. Subscribe once. I'll send you a new box every 3 months. If you don't like it, cancel. No worries. No pressure. Oh, and you'll save a bunch of cash compared to ordering everything separately. So it's kind of a no-brainer. To check out my Getting Warmed Up subscription box, go to sexwithemily.com/box. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/box.